#1 sports site in the world.
Live from the Click and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act.
Leg it down. Smack on jackal.
Nighttime. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
We die, together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio.
Is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Click and Loan studios, here's Tony D.
Well, glad to be with us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We start the show tonight with news down in Miami of St. Louis Rams Stedman Bailey, wide receiver Stedman Bailey, has been shot. It is not life-threatening. Reports are coming in. We'll keep you updated on this story. We know a little bit from what has been coming out tonight that a driver in the car is in critical condition. Again, he was shot, suffered a head wound. Not life-threatening, but we'll keep you up to date on Stedman Bailey, wide receiver of the St. Louis Rams. As we just go on the air, reports are he has been shot in Miami. Again, not life-threatening, but again, we'll still keep you updated. Glad you can be with us tonight here on Yahoo Sports Radio. We got a lot to get to, including Johnny Manziel has been demoted. We'll talk about that because I'm a Johnny Manziel fan. I like Johnny Manziel. I was glad that the Cleveland Browns were going to give him a shot, but they did the right thing. We'll talk about that coming up on the show tonight. Bottom of the hour, Jessica Camerato is going to join us from BasketballInsiders.com. The Golden State Warriors are 16-0 and don't look like anybody's going to be able to beat them. Now, we know they're not going to go 82-0, but the way they're playing right now, it is such an amazing accomplishment given the depth this team has, how well-polished they are, the fact that Steve Kerr is not coaching them. He has been out. Luke Walton has taken over. They have not missed a step. So Jessica Camerato will join us at the bottom of the hour to go around the National Basketball Association. But we start tonight with the college football rankings that came out. And Big 12, pat yourself on the back, because whatever case you were making to the committee, they were either listening or waiting for their opportunity to give you what you felt like you deserved. This was a good weekend for the Big 12. Guess what? They like you. They really, really like you. Oklahoma is in the top four. Baylor is ranked seventh. They're in both in good positions. You're going to be okay. The committee did a couple of things here this weekend. Now, before I say this, let me make this clear. There's a caveat that I feel like I have to say every single week. The fact that I don't like saying it, because it's not how I'm used to dealing with rankings and judging rankings, but like you, I'm still learning, so forgive me. Remember, this is just a snapshot of what they know so far. This can change very easily, but they made a couple of statements here. There were two teams in this poll that were punished despite winning: Notre Dame and Florida. Now, Florida, it doesn't matter, because if Florida beats Florida State and then beats Alabama, they're in. But they fell four spots to number 12 after eking by Florida Atlantic in overtime. They punished Notre Dame two spots, and that's critical for Notre Dame, for a narrow escape at Boston College, where the game was at Fenway Park. Now, Notre Dame still has Stanford on their schedule. They've bumped Stanford up two spots. I told you to watch out for this. Stanford is 9-2. They're the highest ranked two-loss team in the poll. They're higher than Michigan. They're higher than Florida State. They're higher than Northwestern. And they're higher than TCU. They're the highest-ranked two-loss team in the poll. I told you to watch for Stanford, because if Notre Dame beats Stanford convincingly, then they're going to credit Notre Dame. They dropped them down like you would for a narrow escape against a team you should beat pretty easily. But Notre Dame can make up ground and make up ground quickly with a win against Stanford. The question that is out there, and these are the top four: Clemson, Alabama, Oklahoma, and Iowa. What you're setting yourself up here for is these are all teams that if they run the table, don't budge. Clemson wins the ACC, they're in, they're undefeated. If Alabama wins the SEC, they're in, no problem. Oklahoma, they go out and win the Big 12, they beat Oklahoma State, they're in, no trouble. Iowa, they run the table, win the Big 10, they're in, no trouble. Nothing Notre Dame can do about it, nothing Baylor can do about it, nothing Ohio State can do about it or anybody else. They're all going to be in. So the next couple of weeks are going to be critical to see where, if you're going to try to make a move, how and what help you're going to get. Does Notre Dame need help? It appears they do now. Remember, Notre Dame was fourth last week. If they had gone to Boston College and really put a whooping on the Eagles, they would probably still be four today. But just because you win does not mean much to this committee. You do need style points. And Notre Dame didn't have it. So if you're going to go to Boston College, you better beat the Eagles. If you're going to be at home against Florida Atlantic, you better win that game by a couple of points. So they did make a point to penalize a few teams that did win but did not win big enough. Michigan State is up four spots. Oklahoma got the biggest boost. I said earlier the Big 12, they're starting to like you, Big 12. Oklahoma is now in the party. There is Baylor lurking on the outside looking in. They're just ahead of Ohio State. Of course Baylor needs some help. They need Oklahoma State to beat Oklahoma. They need to take care of their own business. But Baylor is right there. So Big 12, you've got to push from this committee. So we will get to more of this coming up. 800-777-2907. Right off the bat, we've got Kenneth on the line who wants to talk some college football. What's on your mind tonight, Kenneth?
Hey, Tony, I appreciate you taking my call, my man.
No problem, man.
I have a couple of questions for you.
Yeah, sure.
One, which rivalry would you consider the most intriguing? And two, which of these top 10 teams would you, I guess, put on upset alert?
All right, the first question, in terms of intriguing, Michigan-Ohio State to me is the most intriguing because of when you bring in Jim Harbaugh and a resurgent Michigan team that's 9-2 that's ranked against Ohio State that took a big drop. I think this is the most intriguing one. I don't see much of a contest between Alabama-Auburn. I don't think South Carolina has a chance against Clemson to close out the season. When I look at other types of rivalry games that could affect this party, I don't see much. The Bedlam series probably is the biggest one on the board in terms of affecting the championship and affecting the playoff because Oklahoma loss to Oklahoma State opens things up pretty big time for Baylor if they run the table. But I do like the intricacies of this Michigan Ohio State matchup now that Harbaugh is there just from a pure entertainment value. But if I'm looking for the rivalry that's going to impact this playoff standings the most, it's the Bedlam series between Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Who's on upset alert? Well, it depends on how you define upset. Oklahoma better be careful about Oklahoma State, but I wouldn't necessarily call that an upset. I don't think Clemson is going to lose to South Carolina. I don't think Auburn is going to lose out. Iowa, we'll see. Notre Dame, Stanford, that wouldn't be necessarily an upset. So right now, I would have to say if there's any team that's on upset alert, I guess it would be Oklahoma against Oklahoma State. But again, like I said earlier, I don't think it would be much of an upset. Thanks for the call. Good questions. 800-777-2907. And now I want to get into Johnny Football. That's coming up next as the Browns have made a decision on the quarterback. And Johnny, I love you, but I can't stand by you on this one. That's next. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
So I find out today that Johnny Manziel has been benched. He is not the second string quarterback anymore. He's now the third string quarterback for the Cleveland Browns after a weekend of partying in Austin, Texas. And the Browns basically have had enough. Now let me say this. My first reaction was this. And this is where I like when I sort of evolve in my thinking, because sometimes I overreact to stuff. My wife has this problem with me. She always says, you initially get so upset and then you calm down and you go, okay, I can start seeing it this way. This is one of the things I'm trying to get out, but hey, I'm an emotional guy. So my first initial reaction to this was, oh, come on. He was on a bye weekend, you know, let him chill, let him do whatever he wants. If it's not affecting his preparation, if you're allowing everybody to go out and do whatever they want to do and sort of relax and let loose a little bit, why are you punishing him? Well, then I started to rethink this, because Johnny Manziel checked himself into rehab, and he did so, and he went to the Browns to tell him that, and the Browns took that as a sign of maturity. He had said over and over again that this kind of behavior was hurting his career and he needed to get a handle on it. Now, the transgressions of last season were probably pushed aside by Browns management on the idea that the responsible thing that he did was go to rehab, get himself better, and then come back in his second season in the NFL as a guy that is prepared to go walk the walk, be an NFL professional. And what they had with Johnny Manziel was a guy that, if we're going to give you this opportunity, here are the things that we need you to do, and here are the things we need you to avoid. And he couldn't do that. If I'm the Browns, I let him go and just end this nonsense and end this relationship. You know, I'm not a big divorce guy, but there have been times, I have friends who have gone through divorce, and maybe a lot of you have, where you just eventually say, you know what, I can't do this anymore. And your friends even say, dude, yeah, I mean, I don't want you and Sally to get a divorce, but it'll be the best thing for both of you, because it just doesn't look like it's working. This is the case with Johnny Manziel and the Browns. It's time to start dating other people. It's time to start, you know, seeing what other fish are in the sea. This is not working. He really doesn't want to be there if he's done this. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe Johnny Manziel is sabotaging his own Cleveland Browns career. I don't know if he wants out. I don't know if he wants to be moved to some other team, or if he just wants to stick it to them for some reason. But Manziel may be a wild child, but I can't imagine that he's not doing these kind of things without a thought about how this is going to affect management. You see this video? He knows there's a camera. He knows he's talking to somebody that's filming this, and it's going to show up somewhere. I don't care if he's drinking or not. He knows where this is going to end, how this is going to end. I don't think he wants to be there. I think Johnny Manziel reads the writing on the wall. I think he's playing for a coach that wishes that he didn't have him on the team. I think he's playing for an organization that is regretting drafting him, and I think he wants out. And I think he wants to be with somebody that would want him. The Cleveland Browns, and I've been saying this forever and a day, the Cleveland Browns do not want him to play quarterback. They don't want him. I saw this in Denver with Tim Tebow, with John Fox and John Elway. They did not want Tebow. They didn't want Tebow at all. And you could tell in the press conferences, you could tell the way they acted, you could tell the way they talked about his wins, you could tell the way they talked about him. I'm one of those guys that believes that if you have to remind a fan base over and over and over again how hard a guy is working, you've got nothing else to say about that person. And that's what the Denver Broncos did with Tim Tebow. They would just constantly talk about his work ethic. You know, that should be a given. That's not something we should be like, wow, really? He shows up to work and he prepares? Wow. We should actually, wow. I'm surprised at this. That's kind of like part of the job. Manziel, you just get the feeling when you listen to Mike Pettine talk, just doesn't want him there. He just does not want him on the team. So just cut him. And Johnny Football, I can't stick up for you on this one. I've stuck up for you all since the second you got to Cleveland. I thought they did you wrong, and I really believe that they should have given you an opportunity to see what they had, but I can't do it anymore. You had one job. Take care of yourself. Don't get involved in these situations for right now. Prove that you belong in this league. Do your job. Prepare for your job. Show the responsibility. When you told them that you were going to check into rehab, you did it for a reason. Stand by that reason. They stood by you. And now I can't support them. I can't. And now I got to actually say that the Cleveland Browns have done a good job. And if I'm Mike Pettin, that I do talk to the powers that be and say, this is it. We got to cut ties because I'm not doing this. I don't want a locker room that's filled with distractions. I don't need these players that are trying to win some football games. I don't want them answering questions about party animal Johnny Manziel in Austin, Texas. I don't need it. And I don't want it. And I'm tired of it. And if I was him, that's exactly how I would put it. I'm just tired of it. He's not the only one that can throw a football around here. He's not the only one that can lead us. Yes, it was a first-round pick. Yes, it was a mistake. Let's move on. Cut ties and get him out of here. And then Johnny Manziel can have that come to Johnny Manziel meeting in his head where he decides if this is what he wants to do. Or he can go to Dallas and let Jerry Jones say, do whatever you want, Johnny Football, as long as you win. Because I think that's where he's got to go. Listen, and here's the thing. When he was in college, Johnny Manziel lived a life many of us would have dreamed to have when we were in college. Right? I mean, he's the star of a college town. He's got co-eds all over him. He's partying. He's having a good time. He's winning big-time football games. He's a superstar. He's not just a star. He is a superstar. He's hanging out with real celebrities. He's getting invited to real stuff in that rock star world. Not just, hey, he's the best player on our campus. He became a nationwide superstar. And it's a lifestyle that I'm sure is attractive. If you're 22 years old and you're hanging out at parties and you're the center of attention, I can't imagine giving that away. I can't imagine, you know, if I have an opportunity to do it, I got to be honest with you, I'd probably do a couple of more. But at the same time, my career and my provability in this sport, the idea that I need to show people I do belong here, I need to show people that this is what I want to do for a living, I think I could give that up for a weekend. I think I could give that up until the offseason. I've been given a gift by the Cleveland Browns, which is a starting job in the NFL, and only 32 people will have that coming up on Sunday, and I am giving it back. Because I can't stay away from a good time. Browns, it's time to let him go. Just let him go. Because if you don't, then I don't want to hear you bitch about this guy anymore. Shame on you for that. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we continue through the night tonight and getting into the NBA. And I know we've been talking about the Golden State Warriors and a couple of teams that have not lived up to expectations. So let's go around the association with Jessica Camerato, basketballinsiders.com, get her thoughts on the season so far. How are you, Jessica?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Not as good as the Golden State Warriors, who are just ripping through this league right now. Whenever I watch them, it's funny because both Adam and I, my producer, have been watching this team, and we see this real intensity. They've been playing these games in front of a sold-out crowd. There's a lot of high energy. It's early in the season. Is Luke Walton pacing this team correctly? 82 games is a long time. I feel like there's a lot of energy coming, and I get a little worried about that. Are they pacing right?
There is a lot of energy, but you know, a lot of times when teams come off deep championship runs like the Warriors did, traditionally, I think we've seen in the past, a lot of those teams are more veteran heavy than the Warriors are. And it's funny, I was actually just thinking about this right before we hopped on this show together, just how young the Warriors are. And I think that's one of the reasons that they've been so successful is they have their core. Is I don't even know if these guys have hit their prime yet. So they're able to play a lot more minutes at a lot faster pace than, let's say, a team where your stars are 30 or 32, things like that.
You know, it's funny because when you have a team that's talented like this, and they're not being led by Steve Kerr, they're being led by Luke Walton, And then you can say, hey, look, they've got a talented team, so you just roll out the guys. But there is still a minutes managing situation and things like that. Is Luke Walton doing exactly what Steve Kerr would do, or is there some imprint of him on this team?
I think, you know, Steve Kerr, they've always said, is he's still very much involved in the team, but Steve Kerr is not there holding his hand during the game. He's not there. You know, it's not like a football game where we see the guys with the headphones on and the earpieces. I mean, at some point, this becomes Luke Walton infuses himself in there, the in-game adjustments, things like that. Sure, there are things that have been discussed by the entire coaching staff, but there is part of Luke Walton coming through with this team, and it's so early on, and we'll see as the season plays out how this team ends up looking similar or different with him on the sidelines.
I want to ask you about the San Antonio Spurs. And I know LaMarcus Aldridge is dealing with an ankle injury, but his contribution to what is getting, as the big three are kind of waning off and LaMarcus Aldridge being added into this team, what have you seen about him and his contributions to the Spurs?
Well, they were in Boston earlier this season, so I got a chance to, you know, see them very early on. And what LaMarcus Aldridge does is he just creates different matchup problems than the team had created in the past, because now all of a sudden you have just this huge scoring option on the floor. So he's able to spread the floor. He's able to split some defenses. He just gives the Spurs a new look, and that's going to be a look that the team will eventually transition to. So, you know, I think we talked about this probably earlier this season. I expect the Spurs to be very successful in the Western Conference. So they're living up to expectations in my book.
And the Houston Rockets just changed coaches as Kevin McHale is out. I know it's early, but the Western Conference is tough. Is there something really missing with the Rockets, or can they just tweak this and be right on pace?
No, I mean, you know, it's the general consensus, especially with the Kevin McHale firing, was it's a shame. You know, he doesn't put together the team. He has to coach what he's working with. And this team, to me, has never been, even in spite of how well they played last season, they never struck me as a true contender. The Houston Rockets remind me of the Brooklyn Nets after they were constructed with that big mega contract. Everybody was making $50 million a year, and they were not a good team. The Houston Rockets have a lot of good players. They have a lot of individual winners, guys with all-star selections, MVP candidates. But collectively, as a team, it's just not there. So I think you're going to have to get either change up the players or change up their mentality, because right now I see a lot of individual talent and no cohesion with the team.
And that's real, and that's been really important, because you talk about an NBA team. We've seen teams that have been built with successful players that have all come together. But if you don't have that sort of common thread, it's really hard to win in this league.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they're missing right now is a guy with veteran experience who has, you know, been to the NBA Finals, maybe won a championship, somebody that knows what it takes to get to the next level. These Houston Rockets, as pieces, know what it takes to win. They know how to be good players, but you need that glue in there, that person to say, all right, this is how you take that next step. That's why I think you look at the Los Angeles Clippers. During the postseason, the addition of Paul Pierce will be really important, because it's just that guy to be like, all right, guys, I'm not the coach telling you what to do, but I'm a player, and you can speak to them on a different level.
We were kind of teasing Knicks fans a couple of days ago about you know, Porzingis and the craze that he's generating in New York. We've seen the Knicks fans do this with Jeremy Lin a couple of years ago. But has this got a little bit more staying power? Because this kid is really good.
Yeah, I mean, this is different. You know, Porzingis was a lottery pick. Jeremy Lin was a phenomenon, a huge trend. And Porzingis is playing as the Knicks thought that he would. This was the player they thought they were going to get. So I think Knicks fans, of course. I mean, I was at Barclays Center that night. Knicks fans don't, you know, who are they actually going to like that was drafted? Like, they are always going to boo everybody. So I think the reaction was so strongly against Porzingis that now the reaction is like, oh my gosh, maybe we should have been applauding him instead of booing him off the stage that night.
The Philadelphia 76ers are 0-15, and this bothers me, Jessica. I don't like what the Philadelphia 76ers are trying to prove, if you will, or trying to do, if you will. Does Adam Silver need to pay attention to what's going on in Philadelphia just to make sure this is on the up and up?
The problem with the Philadelphia 76ers is, you know, the whole tanking theory. They're not even healthy. So it's not just like you're drafting players that can't play. I mean, the drafted players aren't even the huge problem. It's, you know, guys like Kendall Marshall, Tony Roten, like random roster players are being injured. So as terrible as their record is at 0-15 right now, I'm sure you can point to the fact that They drafted MD, he can't play. They drafted Sarge, he's overseas, and who knows when either one of them will play. The players that they actually have on their roster right now, everybody's hurt. So, I mean, that I think is something that's out of control in their situation. I don't think that this team, with the talent they had, even when healthy, was really built to be a winner. You know, that was clear. But a lot of it also has to do with injuries. I think the fact why they haven't been able to squeak out a win yet this season, and we're in late November, you can also look at the fact that of who they're playing. They have T.J. McConnell now as their starting point guard, and Phil Pressey is backing him up.
All right, I'll cut them a little bit of slack. But if this gets to like 25 losses in a row, then I'm really going to start to get a little concerned about the Philadelphia 76ers and their game plan. In Miami, do you like what the Heat are doing? They seem to be clicking along pretty good.
The Heat at the start of my season were my vote for most improved team. I thought they were really going to turn heads in the Eastern Conference. I like the addition of Justice Winslow. Through the draft, a healthy Chris Bosh and D. Wade. It seems like, you know, they're like 500 in basketball years, but they still get things done. And Hassan Whiteside is really developing into, you know, a true dominating big man. What he's been doing defensively is, in a day when guys are playing, starting to, you know, play away from the basket, and, you know, I'm watching Al Horford knock down three-pointers tonight, adding that to his game. Hassan Whiteside is just being a true big man, and that is going to make a big difference for this team.
Jessica Camerato joins us, basketballinsiders.com, as we go around the NBA. Last time we talked, I think we touched on the Cleveland Cavaliers and the idea of what LeBron wants to do there with Kevin Love. That seems to be working. Is there anything about Cleveland that concerns you, though? I mean, 11-3, off to a good start. Is there any issues that could be cropping up with the Cavaliers?
Well, we have to see what happens. I mean, you know, look, they're 11-3. They're atop the Eastern Conference, and that's been without Kyrie Irving. So I think when he comes back, Kyrie Irving doesn't make you worse. He should make you better. But I do think there will be a little bit of a transition period where everybody gets used to playing with each other once again. I mean, you know, there'll be less shots for people. There'll be maybe less minutes for people. So there'll be a slight adjustment period. I think in the end, they'll be fine. You know, they were my vote to come out of the East since basically the last NBA Finals. So, but I think once Kyrie comes back, they'll have to kind of reshape things a little bit. And there might be just, like, you know, a few games where things look a little bit out of sorts.
I know there's controversy in Atlanta with Mike Budenholzer and hitting the referee, or, in, you know, whether it was intentional or not. Should the NBA just come in and say one game suspension, calm the union down a little bit, and kind of not get involved in this kind of thing and just suspend him? Or is there some reason why he's not been suspended?
You know, that's a good question. That's something I think a lot of people in an office on the top floor of some building, they may be making that decision.
Yeah.
I think there are certain things where, you know, things like that, we don't know exactly what's going to happen behind the scenes and discussions that are had. So we'll have to see what happens.
Jessica Camerato again, basketballinsiders.com. Coaching changes. There were a couple around the league. Anything sticking out that impresses you so far? I know Billy Donovan's doing pretty good in Oklahoma, Oklahoma City, Fred Hoiberg in Chicago. Any other coaching changes that have made a mark so far this season?
Hoiberg, I think, has done a good job. You know, just coming into the NBA is always a transition from the college game, especially dealing with the Chicago Bulls, who you never know which roster you're going to have on the floor on any given night. And then Joakim Noah being in the starting lineup, being on the bench, I think he's done a really good job handling a lot of uncertainties and just having the Bulls right in there, right there with, you know, in contention in the third spot in the East. They have the talent where they should be there, but the Bulls are a team where there's always so many moving pieces and their lineup can change from night to night. So I think he's done a good job so far keeping everything pretty streamlined.
Great talking to you, Jessica. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Thank you so much. We'll catch up soon.
Thanks. Same to you.
You got it. Jessica Camerato on basketballinsiders.com. All right, 800-777-2907 as we go around the association. We like to do this about once a week just to sort of keep in tabs with what's going on with this league. It's got a lot of great, exciting stuff. Of course, Golden State, right? You know, they're cruising right along and unbeaten and whatnot. And like I said at the start of that interview, I love the intensity. I think it makes the early games extremely entertaining, and I hope they don't back off the throttle at all. You watch them and you just get, especially when they're at home, there's this atmosphere that these games are, they matter and they're important and they're not taking a night off. I mean, all the years that I have been, you know, around the league, covering the league, you can tell almost instantly when a team is going to just take the night off. I mean, it, you know, you see Greg Popovich do this every now and then where he sits starters, and it's not that he wants to lose, but he wants to manage all the way through to get to April. You hear star players talk about this all the time. And yet I watch a Golden Golden State Warriors team that plays almost every game with intensity and seems to manage the minutes well, so they're not wearing out everybody because they're so deep on the bench. So it's a good combination to have. You're trying to pursue maybe some history. I don't know if they're actively going for that or not, but just taking it, you know, every single game as they come, but not wearing out. Steph Curry's not, you know, playing 45 minutes a night here. This is not something where every guy is going to get worn out so that you can see injuries start popping up in February, stop popping up in March, and then they're a little bit depleted when it comes to the postseason. I think they've been managed pretty well. 800-777-2907, your thoughts. We got a lot to get to, including Johnny Manziel, as we continue the conversation there. The Thanksgiving games and rivalry week in college football. It's all coming up, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loan Studios.
And back to Tony D.
Yeah, maybe lost. Well, not really lost. In the Golden State Warriors win tonight, another horrible game for Kobe Bryant. Is this going to be something that we do all season? Just kind of wallow in the self-pity that is Kobe Bryant basketball right now? He was 1-for-14. God, this is bad. You know, he is averaging 16 points per game, so I guess I shouldn't knock him too much. But this is not how I want to see Kobe go. Don't you wish athletes could just go, nah, that's enough. I'm good. I'm playing well. I'm leaving while I'm hot. I'm not going to go out there and throw up bricks and look old and play on a team that's not competitive. But this is what happens. We get guys, you know,
He basically said after the game that he needs more help off the ball, basically from his teammates, so he can set up better and get, you know, more shots out of the block and that kind of stuff. So that's kind of basically what he said after the game, that
this is
more help from his team.
I see this on Twitter. I could have scored 80 tonight. It wouldn't have made a beep difference. We have bigger problems.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that part. So yeah,
very good, Kobe. Way to go, Kobe. 1-for-14. I would venture to say that 1-for-14 is also a problem.
Yeah, that's at least he wasn't like 1-for-28.
Yeah. I hope he's implying that I could have scored 80 and we still wouldn't have beat that fantastic basketball team that we just had to face up against. The team that is just 1,000 times better than us in every single way. Maybe that's the case. Oh, you know what? The Lakers are going to eventually be back again, and Kobe won't be around to enjoy it. That's basically what this is going to come down to.
I still think the Lakers are going to regret taking D'Angelo Russell over, and maybe even Porzingis, but definitely Okafor. I think in the long run.
Okay, I agree with you in this regard. I think Porzingis was a shot even for the Knicks. I think Porzingis becomes a pleasant surprise. I don't think anybody really could have projected. But you're right about D'Angelo Russell, because they don't know how to use him. He's losing confidence. You know, Byron Scott is trying, you know, to figure him out mentally. That's not a good sign.
No.
I never like those where you're playing head games with a kid to see if you can get him tough or you can get him in the right frame of mind. I think it's just nowhere to go. If you draft a kid high in the draft because he's a game changer, he's going to change you, then you better not blow it. Like, if you don't mess around with the kid's head, just let him go out there and do what he does. And then if he doesn't do it right, just let him learn on the job. Don't put him on the bench in clutch situations because you want to teach him a lesson or something. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, and you know, I mean, I just think about other smaller top picks. Like Derrick Rose was a game changer, even at his size. Kyrie Irving was a game changer at his size. I didn't see that in D'Angelo Russell at Ohio State. I didn't see that type of player. And that's where I always said, you know, you get a big 7-footer with the skills of Jahlil Okafor, you take that over what looks like a combo guard that doesn't look all that explosive. He has a nice game, but I don't know, second pick overall, nice game.
I don't know if you know this. The Lakers, because I'm trying to remember, the Lakers are protected for the top three picks in the draft, and that's it?
Yes.
Okay, so because I know it's a mess. Yes. I know it's a big deal, big trades and stuff that they made. So they're protected for the top three. Man, they're probably hoping Ben Simmons will be be the guy that can take it number one. Did you see Simmons' line tonight, by the way?
Yeah.
And you know what? By the way, get used to this, because I might be bringing him up throughout the entire college basketball season.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight, Ben Simmons had a double-double, but not in the typical way you'd think a person would get a double-double.
Yeah.
Simmons had, I won't even tell you the points, I will tell you that he had 14 rebounds and 10 assists. He had 4 points.
Put it this way, in the first half, he was 0 for 1 with an air ball.
But he had,
I think, over 10 rebounds in the first half.
Why wouldn't you say the entire offense is running through Ben Simmons? You kid, shoot as much as you want. We don't care. Is he that unselfish of a player? Is this part of his game? Because this is mind-boggling.
Yeah, it might be, but I mean, I think LSU needs him to be that 18-point game kind of guy.
Tim Quarterman's not going to, you know, he's not the guy you're going to pay money to see.
Right.
He's a good player, but Ben Simmons is the show. You know, do what Pistol Pete did. Do what Pete Maravich. Take all the shots, right? Just take all the shots. That's what I would do. That's what you want with LSU. So, oh man, they lost tonight in Brooklyn. By the way, every year I get a little jealous of the basketball teams that get to go to Hawaii every year. Every November I get this.
I was just telling my wife that tonight. I'm like, these kids get to go to Hawaii.
Get to chill out in Hawaii. Well, my son and I were watching the Vanderbilt game earlier tonight. And they're in Hawaii, chilling out. Kevin Stallings, got the team in Maui. Very nice gig if you can get it. Why not? Why wouldn't you schedule the Maui trip if you get invited? Make it a nice little recruiting. Hey, you want to come here? We go to Hawaii. Get to go to Hawaii for 3 or 4 games. I was like, remember the Great Alaska Shootout? Do they still have that?
I don't think so.
Oh, that was another one. I remember Duke going up there one year because of Trajan Langdon. Was that him? The kid from Alaska?
Yep. Yeah.
They kind of made it, let's go up and let's go be part of that. And I think Duke went up there one year.
I guess it could be still going, but it doesn't stand out. I don't remember hearing it lately. I mean, I remember it back in the day, but I haven't seen it come up lately, so I don't think it's happening anymore.
Obviously, going to Maui is a better trip than Alaska, but Alaska is still it's an adventure.
Or the kids, don't they go to, is it Puerto Rico where they go?
Oh, yeah, there's Puerto Rico, and then there's the Virgin Islands and the battle for Atlantis.
Yeah.
Atlantis is a gigantic adult playground in the Bahamas. Atlantis is a casino waterfall aquarium playground in the Bahamas, and that's where they're having the basketball tournament. It's like, enough, all right? That's how great is that?
Yeah, went to play 3 games in the Bahamas.
And you know what? It's like every single coach, and you know what? Eric Spoelstra did this too, because the Heat in LeBron's final year, I think, went there for training camp. I don't know if they still do, but I remember they went there for training camp. And every time a college coach or like Eric Spoelstra, they go to these places, they always feel like they have to remind you that it's a business trip. We're there for business. We're there to work. Whatever. Stop. If you weren't wanted to make it all about work, you wouldn't be scheduling a trip to a beach, an island. Come on. But they can't come out and say, we just think it's great for our kids to get out and relax, be in the sun, be in a kind of a paradise for a couple of days, chill out before we put them through the ringer of a college basketball schedule. Yeah, we're into this. Instead, it's like, nah, Hawaii, well, it's just a game on our schedule, just a location on our schedule. We try really hard to win every single game, and it doesn't really matter where we play. We can play anywhere. It's just it's another game where we got to just focus on whatever. I'm sure when the SID, the athletic director, came to you and said, we're thinking about going to Hawaii, what do you think? I'm sure the answer was, let me think about it. I don't know, because I really don't care where we play. Please. They signed up immediately. Oh, we got invited to Maui? Yes, 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 and double yes. All right, coming up in next hour, our top 5, bottom 5 for the week that was in the National Football League. Stick around for that. I'll also talk Big 12 love from the committee.